Greetings and welcome, everybody. Ray Adams here on Great American Golf, caddy for the show, and can't wait to get going today. We've got a great one for you. It's a special edition. And what's special about it? Well, I'll tell you what's special. Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional and noted golf instructor nationally, is with us. And Dr. Bob Denny, the PGA of America's historian emeritus. Yes, all three of us, the three musketeers, the three golfeteers, are here with you. And I know that it's been tough to get us all three together on a show for a variety of reasons. And we won't go into all of that, but we're very positive and happy today. We're excited. The largest attended golf tournament on the planet is happening right here in my backyard in Phoenix, Arizona, where this show emanates from. And this is CENTCOM for Great American Golf Radio here on Saturday morning. We've got a cut line. We've got lots of golfers we're going to talk about. There's various stories. There's other stories in golf going on. There's other things in golf going on. Liv is playing over in Riyadh. And I know that Dr. Bob has nuggets. So it just gets better and better every minute. I want to start the show by thanking some of my favorite PGA merchandise show companies. Bear with me for a moment while I do. Now, not one of these companies have paid me a dollar, not one, but I'm going to mention them. Now, I took 31 videos. No, I'm not going to mention 31 companies, but I am going to say, if you go to Match Play TV, because every year I go, and this was my 22nd year being at the Orlando Golf Show a couple weeks back, and we filmed 31 videos. During those 31 videos, I've filmed a lot of new products, innovation, imagination, just everything you could imagine from inventors and CEOs, everything. So I want to tell you to go to Match Play TV. There you're going to find my Instagram, Facebook, and my YouTube site where so many videos are there. From a demo day where I introduced the entire week, to Freeballer, one of my favorite new companies at the show. Freeballer, these guys were all dressed in yellow knickers, and I got to tell you, their product is fabulous. It's on Facebook and it's on LinkedIn. Make sure you go to Freeballer and find out more about that at Match Play TV. And then you're going to find out Andy Bell. He is the CEO of Ashworth Golf Apparel. That's a great interview with Andy. He's on Facebook and LinkedIn with me. Hal Sutton is there. He's up on my YouTube site. And Certifresh Cigar is up there on my YouTube site. Glove It is over on Facebook. Glove It is a wonderful ladies accessories company that has been around for many, many years. And it's great to meet the new leadership. Wonderful interview there in their booth. Tally Tumbler. We all know that I love the Tally Tumbler. It keeps your scores and stats while keeping your drinks ice cold and piping hot. Tally's been with me. They are a sponsor. The Putter Key. It's a very cool thing to help you with your putting, and it's a great gift idea at tournaments. Selkirk. Listen, golf and pickleball are joined at the hip. We know that, and it has been that way for a number of years. Selkirk is the leading pickleball company on the earth, and I play Selkirk pickleball equipment, and I had a great interview with their owner. Snyder Golf Balls, Casper Dietrich and his father, Tino Dietrich. This father-son duo is, well, they're rather invincible in the golf ball business over in Europe and now coming to America. Snyder Golf Balls, they'll become a sponsor, and you'll hear a lot more from them. The Verticat, helping people who have physical issues be able to get in the Verticat vehicle, and it stands you up so that you can play golf. I have a very special guest on that interview. They're over on my YouTube site at Match Play TV. Snag Golf is on Facebook. It's all about the children and getting the kids in the game. AC Wedges on LinkedIn, they have reinvented and they are disrupting the wedge club game. I mean, you can't believe what AC Wedges are doing. Shorty's Golf, a kids golf clubs. The Golf Saber, a psychologist from right here in Scottsdale, started playing golf a little late in life. decided that he didn't like all the no, don't do this, don't do that. So he created the Golf Saber, and that's up there on my YouTube site. Vuk Grips. Bob Denny found Vuk Grips, and Vuk Grips is just a great company that has a fantastic product. And we're going to be talking a lot more with Vuk Grips. The Wind Genie up on my Facebook site also, and there's more to come. Now, I went through those that are up there quickly, folks, and I'll be going to, we'll be adding more up there in the future. So thank you for indulging me for a couple of 3 minutes there, just to shout out some of my favorite products from the PGA show. All right. Let's have a look at that leaderboard over there at the Phoenix Open. And we've got to find out who's doing what and where and when and what did they do. Lots happening on that leaderboard. Hideki Matsuyama, 10 under par, shoots a 64. Ryo Hisatsune, 10 under par. My goodness gracious. Lots going on, and let's see what happens there with Chris Goddard up going on. He shot a 63 on Thursday. What kind of a golf course is this? And you go down the line, and these guys are playing some lights out golf. Siwoo Kim, John Perry, 7 under par, and Sam Stevens, Minwoo Lee, Maverick McNealy. They're all there on the leaderboard, but I want to jump down below the cut line because there are some people below the cut line, guys, that, well, I guess I'm a little bit surprised. Emiliano Grillo, the cut line, by the way, is minus one. Earlier it was going to be even, and they made it to minus one. And you can see that there's some people that I think should have made the cut. They did not make the cut. Let's find out what happens with some of these players as you go down the line. We know that Brooks Koepka is out at plus two. We know that Wyndham Clark is out at plus two. Billy Horschel is out at three. Hoffman at three over par. So it's playing easy for some of these players. Webb Simpson is four over par. He knows how to play this golf course. Aldrich Pottgeter is five over par, missing the cut. I mean, we can go on and on and on, but these players know this golf course and yet missing the cut. Craig, let me go to you first.
Well, I mean, it looked like conditions were pretty good out there from
Perfect.
what I was able to see.
It wasn't a breath of air. It was easy out there. Beautiful
You know,
weather, easy.
you're gonna have ups and down days, and obviously a couple of those guys have had a couple down days. I mean, the other part to that golf course is even if it's perfect conditions and easier conditions than what, you know, we're used to or vice versa. You also know right away that if you're having a somewhat off ball striking round, the numbers are going to still be that you got to go fairly deep. And that puts a lot of, I don't want to say it puts a lot of pressure on them, but they know they got to go out and shoot a number. And sometimes that's, if you don't have it, that's hard to accomplish.
Well,
So, I mean, in a lot of ways that's tough.
I remember years and years ago, and Tiger never really liked this tournament and didn't really want to play in it. There are a number of players that don't really want to play in the tournament. Many of them do because it is the Phoenix Open. And of course, the fans and the purse and, you know, their schedule and what have you. But a lot of the players have told me over the years that they don't necessarily like the conditions as far as, you know, the heavy drinking and, you know, some of the crowd control is not always there. I think the Thunderbirds and the folks at the Scottsdale Police have over the last couple of years cleaned things up quite a bit. Victor Hovland, they're tied for 35th right now. Ricky Fowler playing in the tournament, T35. You know, you go down the line, Cam Davis is there, Jordan's Ben Griffin is there. Sepp Straka is finishing up and or did finish up. Colin Morikawa tied for 57. He's still not playing any good golf. Xander Schauffele's not playing any good golf at a 71 70 playing. And then Scottie Scheffler, I don't know about Scottie. He's rusty. He's playing rusty. Dr. Bob.
Yeah, Scotty's rusty. 2 weeks ago, he won a tournament,
Yeah.
and now he's coming back, and his ball striking has been pretty decent. He just was missing fairways early when I was watching him on the second round, and he's grinding his way to try to make that cut. I was very impressed with the man that Justin Rose beat a week ago. That's Hisatsune, and
Yeah.
that gentleman is now 11 under. So
Yes.
he's rolling, and it's going to be interesting to see how Matsuyama and his compatriots do this year on the tour, because I think they're going to be very solid, and they've had some, they're, it seems like they're poised to do well, certainly at this part of the year.
Well, there's no question about it. Hisatsune goes into the lead, is in the lead, and Matt Fitzpatrick. It's nice to see him playing some good golf. Chris Goddard playing good golf. We all love Akshay Bhatia's game. We're big fans of him. I know all of us are. And you can get down the line. I mean, there are a lot of names that no one's ever heard of, but there's also some big names on this leaderboard, and we like that. So I think the Phoenix Open is going to be a lot of fun to finish up the weekend. I don't know if you're going out there. Let me know. If you want to be on my big email list for my favorite PGA Show products of the year going out in a couple of weeks, you're going to see some fabulous products, some innovation, imagination. It's going to be a lot of fun when you see that email come to you. That has my favorite PGA Show products of the year. And of course, you're going to see Squares golf shoes there. You're going to see Tour Edge there. You'll see Ping golf clubs there. You're going to see CertaFresh cigar there. But you're also going to see 10 or 12 other products that you've never heard of, likely, and that you're going to love. So get on my email list, write to me, golfadams@msn.com. Who wins the Phoenix Open, Craig?
Oh golly. Let's go a past winner. Let's go Hideki.
Yeah, I like Hideki to win it. I think he's a powerhouse. Let's see what Rio does. We know that Scottie Scheffler is out. There's no way he's coming back. You know, he's fighting for the cut line. Forget about coming back 10 strokes. So we know he's out. I don't know about Matt Fitzpatrick, though. I mean, I think anybody within 4 or 5 strokes can win. Bob and Craig, Bob first. Is that
Well,
about right?
I've been a fan of Chris Goddard up and Goddard in. He's
Yep.
he proved himself to me last year when winning the Scottish Open and then finishing third in the Open Championship. And
Yeah.
he was decent in the Ryder, in the Ryder Cup and that opportunity. So I give him credit.
Well, hey, look, any of these players that wins is going to be a good champion. I don't know that the PGA Tour really has, a favorite. You know, they always want the big names to win. They get the big TV. But let's see where we are. I think if you're within the top 4 or 5 strokes, you can win this golf tournament because it's that kind of a golf course. You can score a lot of birdies. I remember years and years ago, I actually was a walking scorer for Tiger Woods. I have mentioned that. He had two other players with him. And Tiger played, well, he played terrible that day. And you can play terrible, but we've got unbelievably perfect weather. I mean, we're 82 degrees. There is not a breath of air out there, no wind, nothing. At least where I'm broadcasting the show from now, down in Scottsdale at the tournament, is there a few little breezes or whatever? There may be, but that's nothing. The players don't care about that.
Yeah,
This is not a winning.
I was wrong. I was interrupting you for a minute.
Go ahead.
I said that Chris Goddard up. He should have been on the Ryder Cup team. That's my fault.
He should have, yeah.
Yeah, I'm
No,
sorry.
I think we heard
I
that, didn't we, Craig?
think so.
Yeah, he should have been on the Ryder Cup team. That's my point. So.
Okay, couple of quick tips on coming. Now, Craig, you lived here forever. We now know that you are down in the Florida area near Bob. But and by the way, we're all sorry to see Brooks Koepka play. Well, let's say, not very good golf, Craig. And I know you had a comment about him recently in day in and day out, week in and week out PGA Tour events. Is this just Brooks Koepka and he's waiting for the US Open or the Masters or the PGA Tour of America, PGA Champion? I mean, is Chris, or excuse me, is Koepka just kind of getting out there, PGA Tour tournament tough week in and week out? He doesn't really care what's going on as far as his place on the leaderboard. Is that what he's doing?
No, I don't think so. I just think
You
he's,
think he wants to win?
yes, I just think that's his MO as far as how he's played the majority of time he's been on tour. The sad part is, and I'll say it, people realize we may have seen the last time that Brooks Koepka ever wins a major. He's never had a history of winning a lot of golf tournaments. He's won majors. Majors are not easy to come by. It doesn't mean that he's going to win again. In general, so I mean, we might not see Brooks Koepka win another tournament because he doesn't have a long history of winning golf tournaments.
Okay. I think Koepka wins one more. I think he wins one more. But I think it's probably not this year. If he keeps playing and gets tournament tough on the PGA Tour away from LIV and gets back into the swing of things. Huh, I made a funny, the swing of things. I think he is all the player that there needs to be to win another major. And I don't know what that other major would be. I'm guessing probably another PGA or he would win a US Open again. He knows how to do that. Let's find out. We're going to have some fun watching. This year is going to be an amazing year for majors. And I think it's going to be one of the best golf tournament. Professional tour tournament years in many years. Bob, am I going wrong on that one?
Oh, no, I get put it right up there. There's a lot of people that have been knocking at the door to come in and try to win a major. A lot of favorites that I keep thinking that somewhere that Justin Rose has another major in him. I keep thinking that Tommy Fleetwood has a shot. I keep thinking that we certainly pull for those kind of people who are engaging with the fans. They're good people, they represent the game of golf well. Those are the kind of people I cheer, okay? Agreed.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Okay. Here's from my deck. Now, this is many long years ago. I was given a deck of trivia cards for the Phoenix Open. I'm just randomly picking a few cards for the folks. Now, you write to me, golfadams@msn.com, golfadams@msn.com, if you know the answer. Well, that kind of prevents us from talking about the answer, doesn't it? I'll put out a couple where we don't give the answer. Let's do a couple and see if we all know it. If you know it, write to me. It'll pop right up on my screen if you do. And let's see if Craig or Bob can do this. Okay, what Phoenix Open winner is the all-time money winner among Australians who have played the PGA Tour? Ain't that something?
Who's won the most money on the Phoenix Open? And
What winner is the all-time money winner among talented Australians who have played the PGA Tour? Now, this is an old deck. We know that Greg Norman from Australia is probably the all-time, Australian and otherwise money winner, but this was before Greg Norman. This Phoenix Open winner was a very talented Australian and a big-time money winner at during his time.
Wayne
Bob,
Grady.
no. David Graham.
That's what I was going to just say. I'm sorry.
Well, Bob, you got to pop up on me
Yeah,
here. All
I
right.
wasn't asked.
No, you don't need to be asked. Pop
Oh,
up.
okay. All right.
This is a pop
Okay.
up time. This is the what do you call it? The lightning round.
All
Pop up
right.
time. Pop up time. Okay, how many playoff holes were needed in 1972? I wasn't even born, Craig. I'm teasing. How many playoff holes were needed to win the Phoenix Open between Homero Blancas and Lanny Watkins? Do you know the answer to that?
Six.
Bob, do you know?
I'm just guessing seven.
It was one hole and Homero Blancas won.
Okay.
I was a child and
All
I
right.
was at that Phoenix Open. I was at that Phoenix Open. Okay, here's one. Now you guys, I know you guys aren't going to know this. Everybody's going to know this one. Okay, thank you for writing to me. That was a good guess, but you were not correct. Okay, he won the PGA Championship 4 years in a row, but he never won the Phoenix Open.
Walter Hagen.
You're right.
Okay. Good one.
You get the gold star, Walter Hagen. Okay, let me see now here. I might have another one for us. The first Phoenix Open was played over three golf courses. Do you know the names of those three golf courses?
No.
The first Phoenix Open. Now, Bob, you know the year because the Phoenix Open is either the second or third oldest golf tournament on tour. I think I'm right about that.
No, it's not. It's
What
the
is it?
fifth.
Okay,
It's
it's
the
the
fifth
fifth.
oldest.
Okay, I'm wrong. Thank you for correcting me. That's why we have the greatest historian, a golf historian in America on the show with us to correct me. But anyway, okay, it's a very old golf tournament.
All right.
All right. It was played over three golf courses the very first time they played it. We know the answer of one of those golf courses is Phoenix Country Club. We know that. The golf tournament was born there. But during that first tournament, it was played over two other golf courses. Any random guesses, guys?
No.
The oldest golf course in Arizona is what, Craig? Do you know? Chandler. San Marcos. San Marcos Golf Club, and then they also played at the Arizona Biltmore. All right,
Huh.
we'll do a couple others, but we're going to move on here very quickly. I'm going to do one more. The big three of golf. What names were the big three of golf?
Nicholas Palmer player.
That's it. So let me ask you, they finished one, two, and three at the 1963 Phoenix Open. Do you know what order, or could you guess what order they finished? 1963 Phoenix Open, the big three placed one, two, and three. Any idea?
Nicholas Player Palmer.
I mean, that's a good guess. That is a good guess.
I pick Arnie number one. That's my player.
Okay, who's second and third?
I don't think it was Jack. I think Gary.
Oh,
I
you're
think
right
Jack
about
was
that.
there.
All right, you know what, Bob? Arnold
I'm just
Palmer won the
guessing.
Arnold. I know Arnold Palmer won the tournament. Gary Player was second, and Nicklaus was third. So, Craig, you had it exactly backwards because you had
Story of my life.
Nicklaus Player. That's fine, though. I mean, look, can you imagine the thrill of that golf tournament in that year,
Oh boy.
1963,
Yeah.
and how thrilled the fans were that the big three, who were starring in everything, moving and shaking the golf world to its, well, to the roots, and Arnold Palmer was refashioning golf as we know it, and Nicklaus was on board, Player was there. I mean, they were the movers and the shakers.
I have
Just
a
a little.
question for both you guys. I
Go
have a
ahead.
question for both of you.
Yeah.
You both are obviously know more about the landscape over there than I ever will, but can you calibrate when the Thunderbirds were able to get these massive crowds to come into this golf tournament? When did it really pick up? Was there a turning point?
Yeah, there was a turning point, Craig. Do you know?
I don't. I guess it was when Tiger made his hole in one.
That's a good, I mean, that is a good, that's a good point. That did certainly elevate the tournament, but then Tiger didn't really like the Phoenix Open and he didn't come back. He didn't really want to play it. And he had reasons, and they were good reasons. But the Phoenix Open was born and raised and played year in and year out at the Phoenix Country Club. Okay. And all one has to do is go to the Phoenix Country Club and go inside the clubhouse, and you see all the photos, all the records, all the winners. Everything is over all over all the walls. Okay. With that said, in the 1980s, under Dean Beeman's leadership, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong on that one, the tournament players' clubs, the TPCs, were invented. And they were invented so more people could be at the golf courses and find places to watch golf from a vantage point that gave them multiple holes, greens, tee boxes to see the players and watch the game. Those are the tournament players' clubs. And when the Phoenix Open, and I was there when it happened, when the Phoenix Open moved from the Phoenix Country Club to the Tournament Players Club in Scottsdale, where it has been waged now every year for however many years, Bob, you can look it up for us.
I think it's 39.
I was going to say it's upwards of 40 years. The Tournament Players Club, and I've been going almost every single year at Phoenix Country Club as a child, and then over. I mean, I remember standing at the first bird's nest, which was up on the patio upstairs at the Phoenix Country Club with my dad, and Dean Martin, and Jackie Gleason, and Bob Hope, and a few others were standing there, but I was standing next to Arnold Palmer, and my dad was talking to him, and I was at his belt. And he had his hand, and his hand was, Arnold Palmer had big hands. His hand was on my head, patting my head as he talked to my dad. So I remember the Phoenix Open at Phoenix Country Club. I remember riding in Bob Hope's a golf cart with him and up and down the fairways. But when it moved to the Tournament Players Club, the celebrities from Hollywood tapered way off. There were not many, if just a few. But because of the Tournament Players Club, because of the Scottsdale location, because of the vastness of the property and the ways people could get around and find places to view the tournament, it exploded in growth. So I
Okay.
believe that it was the move to the Tournament Players Club. Now, Craig, I think you've got a lot of point there when you say when Tiger made the hole in one. That just electrified not just the fans, but the world of golf. It's just that Tiger really didn't, well, he didn't come back much. He didn't want to play the tournament, and he had his reasons. Do we remember the year where the fans moved the big boulder for Tiger Woods, Craig?
2004.
His ball was out in the desert in the middle of the off the fairway, and his ball was by a boulder, and the fans came in and rolled the boulder over so he could play his ball. I mean, that's a
Yeah.
famous moment in golf, Bob. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was 99 and Tiger.
99, really?
Yeah. And Tiger definitely found a way to get the loose impediment out of
Well, I thought Craig
the way.
was closer, saying 04. I don't remember the year. If you've looked it up, great. But yeah, that happened for Tiger. There were some other issues that happened. So again, Tiger not a big fan of playing and did not play much at the Phoenix Open over the years. Now, people might hear me say the Phoenix Open, the Phoenix Open. It is the Phoenix Open. I grew up at the Phoenix Open, and I know the Phoenix Open extremely well. I covered the Phoenix Open as media for 20 years. But a few
Okay.
years ago, I decided to no longer continue to cover the Phoenix Open on site as media. Now, I still film my television show at the Phoenix Open, but I do it outside of the gates at a private home overlooking, the event, but it's on private property. Filmed many, many episodes there. I also have filmed many episodes at the Phoenix Open inside the gates over the years. You can look some of those up, many of those up at Matchplay TV on my YouTube site. And more are getting posted all the time from my classic TV shows. But I will tell you that there were changes, there were issues, and I just felt that going to the Phoenix Open as media presented too many challenges that I no longer felt that I wanted to overcome. The traffic, the walking, the difficulty with the crowd control, obviously the heavy alcohol, just the list goes on and on. Am I being negative? Not at all. It's a great tournament. They call it the People's Open. It's the largest attended tournament on the earth. And we love the Phoenix Open. Okay. It's great for Scottsdale. I think it's good for the Phoenix metropolitan area. It's a lifestyle event. It's not just golf. People go there to see each other and be seen and seen, not so much for golf. Craig, comment on it. What about it?
I think it's a nice environment up there. I think they did a nice job.
Yeah.
It obviously has worked out for that event. I mean, I think that golf course definitely helped with what the Thunderbirds have done to draw the big crowds and everything like that. So I think it's worked well for everybody.
I think it's a positive lifestyle event. I think they've got control of some things because we know that there were some issues, but I think they've got control of it and I'm happy about it. Bob comments, I don't know. Somebody asked me the other day, what kind of money do they bring in? What kind of revenues do they have? What do they give to charity? I don't know. Do you have those numbers at all?
The numbers I found were last year 18.1 million to charity,
Wow.
and they're over 240 million are in growing in the last 20 some years, I guess.
Wow, $250 million to charity. Isn't that fabulous? I love it. And I know that all the charities in the Phoenix metropolitan area are grateful and they're able to continue because of those donations. And we love it. So thank the fans for going. Thank the Thunderbirds for organizing. I know they're focusing more on charitable causes and donations than they are posting their attendance every day like they used to do forever. But we know it's 600,000 700,000 that attend the tournament during the year, about, especially this week that's having such absolutely perfect weather. Okay, lots on the Phoenix Open. We're going to continue to talk about the Phoenix Open on Monday during the Golf Lifestyle Show right here. And by the way, check out the Golf News Net, golfnewsnet.com. That's where these radio shows, this one, Great American Golf, Saturday mornings, the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, Monday evening during the drive time in the Phoenix, Arizona time zone, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Great American Golf, Saturday morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. The shows stay there at Golf News Net under the radio tab. And then they're sent over to all the big audio platforms where they live and stream forever. So if you want that, make sure you get over there and check out golfnewsnet.com. You'll be one of 1.5 million people that click on and go to the Golf News Net website every single month. Astounding. What a job Ryan Ballingee does, and what a great website and experience golfnewsnet.com is. Okay. Bob, they want a nugget. They're begging
Okay.
for a nugget, and I'm going to ask you to give us a nugget when we return from our commercial break. Folks, there's some great commercials coming to you. It's just a couple of 3 minutes. Have a listen, enjoy, get some of the products, help your game get better, your golf get better, and you'll have more fun. Have a listen. I'll be back with you in one moment.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our Golf Performance Center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
All right, greetings and welcome back, everybody. This is a Great American Golf Show. Saturday morning, Ray Adams, your caddy for the show, along with Craig Renshaw, our noted PGA professional, and Bob Denny, our PGA of America historian emeritus. Changes going on in the PGA of America, Bob. Let's start it out with you, and then Craig, can't wait to hear your comments.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's unique that Terry Clark is now the CEO in the PGA of America, and coming from United Healthcare, because what better place needs a little health and medical attention in business and elsewhere than the PGA right now?
Okay.
And I know that's a tongue in cheek, a little thing, but it's a moment where they have, it's a turning point. And I think it's good that he has got the experience on the board to come in and help turn things around. And that's where way I look at it right now, folks.
Well, I think the PGA of America after the Ryder Cup debacle, is, and by the way, I enjoyed the Ryder Cup. I had a great time covering it. We're not going to go into the negatives. We all know what they are. People are still talking about it. They're posting about it. I saw something the other day again. And I was there, folks. I heard it. I experienced it. It was a little bit worse than what you've read about. I don't want to say that against the Ryder Cup or the PGA of America ever. Everybody knows I'm a huge fan of the PGA of America and a big supporter of the PGA of America. I have been for years. You know that. I have defended them and talked about them and promoted their initiatives and all the things they do for many, many long years. And I'm going to continue to do that. Greg, what do you make of the state of the PGA of America right now and the change of leadership?
Well, I think it's sorely needed a change. I do find it interesting that we picked a leader who has health insurance background and was in charge of that, and there's not many people in this country that would say they like their health insurance or the people that make the decisions when it comes to their health coverage, and this is the person that we decided to lead us to the next generation in our changes. I find that very interesting.
Well, and he was on the board though, right, Bob? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, he's been on the board, and he was a recognized business leader that helped his United Health Group. And he's an independent member of the board since 2024. And for those following the program, he replaces Derek Sprague, who was a PGA member. Okay. I think it's unique also, gentlemen, that who was quoted in the news release was the vice president of the PGA of America talking about the new CEO coming in. Mm-hmm. So we know that there's been some reins put on our president to make a simple comment about the new person coming in. I thought that's the first time in my career that I've seen that happen in a simple release about a new
Why
addition.
is Don Ray not, is it the boy, why is he not allowed to say a word anywhere? He has just disappeared, and he's the president of the PGA of America. Don and I are friends. I think the world of Don Ray. I trust Don Ray. If there was $1 million in cash at your house and you left for a week and Don was there, there'd be $1 million in cash on the table when you came home. Don Ray is a strong man of faith. He is a gentleman of the game. I think he's the best of the best. Now, whoever wants to agree with that, fine. If you don't want to agree with it, I still love you and I still want to talk to you. But those are my feelings about Don Ray, and they have put a muzzle on this man. He is not even allowed to talk about his own golf course that he owns in Phoenix, Craig. Now, right, wrong, or indifferent, does the board make these decisions? Who makes these decisions?
Well, there's only one man that can tell you who makes that decision, and he's unable to talk about it right now.
Can't talk about it. Bob, does the board of directors of the PGA of America, for which this man came from to now be the new CEO, do they make these decisions? Who decides what's going on with the PGA of America?
The board of directors is the governance and the answer to the PGA membership. For the membership. That's the structure. The board of directors.
So he was part of this decision and policy to shut down Don Ray.
Well,
Well, it had to be the board of
it's
directors. It wasn't some guy named Bob off in,
no.
off
No.
at a faucet company. It had to be, I'm making that up, folks. It was a joke. You can laugh now. Go ahead, Bob.
My only point is in history, we've had some ups, many ups and downs that have been very well documented for the PGA of America with changeover in leadership, et cetera. We don't have to go into personalities, but
No.
this is one of the most unique moments just for a simple transfer over of a brand new employee. That's all. That's all. That's my observation.
So he's leaving the board. He becomes the leadership now, Craig. I mean, is the PGA of America in a state of transition, as I've stated, or are they in a state of whatever? I want to say a state of disarray. Do they need a year to figure out who and what they are and come back and really pull this together?
Well, I don't know whether anybody with decision-making capabilities or somebody that's higher up would say that we're having issues. I mean, the only thing that the PGA is looking at is money. So if next year, I mean, they're going to sit there and say, well, the bottom line at New York was great. So the next one that we have, if our bottom line is good, then it's great. If we have our good bottom line at the PGA Championship, it's great. I mean that's how they judge that. So if there's not a change in the bottom line as far as the number that they bring in those events, they're not gonna, and that's what they're looking at. Hey, our sponsors, we're getting people that are gonna, we're getting continue to have our sponsors for PGA Championship, and the money's going up just slightly, 1.5%, whatever. We're able to get this for TV and all this. Our numbers are going to be fine. Then they're going to say, well, see, look, there's been no problem with what happened at the Ryder Cup. Okay, that's what they're going to look at it.
Well, I have a wonderful interview at the Ryder Cup, but I've never published it. I've never posted it. I have several other videos. I've posted a few of them. There's others that I will post now that we're 3 months, past the controversy. So you will see some postings from the Ryder Cup that are positive, maybe some products, what have you. Me wearing my Ashworth golf apparel. Which is fabulous. And you can go to Match Play TV on my Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook sites And you'll see some of those videos along with so many others if you go there. Excuse me, when we came back from break, Bob, we started talking, and I want you to give us a nugget. We need to be nuggetized.
There are ways to play the golf, a game of golf, and there are ways that sometimes are miraculous in what you can achieve by playing a game of golf based on what your physical limitations are. We know that Tommy Armour had one eye and he won three majors and became one of the greatest teachers in the game. He suffered that loss of eye in World War One. We also know that the winner of the 1954 Phoenix Open was Ed Fergal. And Ed Fergal was a man who suffered a broken left arm in a childhood accident in a playground, had multiple surgeries, had the muscles atrophied, and the arm became rigid, bent at an angle. He basically had a useless arm to guide his golf swing. He wins the Phoenix Open. He wins the 1957, excuse me, yeah, the 57 U.S. Open, and he played on the Ryder Cup team in 57. All great things sometimes happen out of nowhere, and gutsy, grindy, whatever it may be. That's one of the great, great achievements, I think, in golf.
What a story. What a great nugget. Thank you, Bob, for that. LIV Golf gets official world golf ranking points. But there's a big controversy. A lot of players upset about it. Only the top few finishing. They say it's not fair. It needs to be reconfigured, redesigned, rethought. Craig, what about it?
I think the way the system is, it's always getting tweaked. I think they're getting some points. It's better than nothing. I know that's not the right answer or fun, but the reality is they don't have as big a field. They're not as deep as the PGA Tour events. They're not as deep as DP World Tour. They may have five players at the top that are great, or whatever that number may be, but they're not as deep, that's for sure. So should they get a full credit like they do on the PGA Tour? Probably not. But, you know, to get into the top 100 or whatever the numbers are to get into the events, you don't always need a ton of points. So you need a few points here and there, and you collect them, and, you know, that's what they're doing. So it's a step in the right direction. So
I do think it is a step in the right direction, whether you like LIV or not. I do think it's a step in the right direction. They'll probably keep tweaking it, Craig, like you've said. But Bob, I mean, we're going to see all the greatest players at the majors, aren't we?
Yes, you will, ma'am.
So, you know, I mean, now, are there some great players on LIV that won't get to play in the majors that could win the major? Well, of course there are, because we know that anybody on the earth on any professional tour can beat everybody else at any given moment. We know that. We've seen it. We've witnessed it forever. And here's one that's pissed off. Sorry for my words. Ticked off, I should have said. Wesley Bryan has made it clear he's not happy with the PGA Tour. He's a former tour player, but he was suspended indefinitely for featuring in a LIV Golf YouTube event. He said he had made peace with this until Brooks Koepka was allowed back on the tour, and he was not. Because of this, he recently called the PGA Tour leadership, quote, Muppets, end quote, and named the person that he would like to see in charge. Are you ready for this, folks? Stay with me, and then we're going to go to Bob and Craig. Asked about the PGA Tour's leadership, he replied, as a New Zealand squad would say, I think most of them are Muppets. He was then asked who he thinks should run the tour, and he named billionaire, former owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban. That is a large wow. Came out of nowhere and hit me in the side of the head, and I have my thoughts about it. If you had someone, quote, like Mark Cuban come in and run, that's business savvy, sports savvy, and influential. I think that someone like him would be a fantastic leader of the organization, end quote, Craig Renshaw.
I have no idea, Mark Cuban. That's the name that they think of. That's great. They want somebody else to lead the tour.
Is the PGA Tour Muppets, though? Are they acting like Muppets right now?
Well, I mean, I think Wesley's got to understand, no offense to him, he's a no-name player out there.
Right.
Brooks and those guys, I mean, the more special the player, the more perks and little things that they sweep under the rug and do that. And the reality
wrong,
is, what does he
Craig?
Bring to
I
the
mean,
tour?
But isn't that wrong?
But that's reality.
Okay. So we are playing favorites out there.
Absolutely.
I'll be dadgum that you said it. Unbelievable. And agree 100%, Bob.
Well, I think it's great that Mark Cuban, who used to be with the Mavericks, now is invested in the Indiana Hoosiers and gave them a boost in their NIL so they can win a national championship. He's got that on his resume. But as far as the tour leadership, I think that's a little stiff to be coming in to say that about the tour leadership, because the tour has really done one thing, and that since the Monahan, they have survived. They have done more than survive. They've given big bucks to signature events. They've given it's called PIP now, not NIL, to their players. So they have done a wonderful thing of getting an infusion by the Strategic Sports Group, a $1.5 billion infusion by that group. So they've done a lot of things to boost their resume themselves and hold their own against LIV. And I think that has been the war within the war, the behind the scenes battles that remain within the business and the boardrooms.
Okay. All right, let's have a look at the schedules. A few minutes left. And then I'm going to give you both your final word, which we do all the time. And we've got a Champions Tour schedule. February the 13th through the 15th, they're going to be down in Naples. How far is Naples from you two millionaire Florida people? I'm joking, folks. You can laugh now. How far is Naples from you two?
3 hours from here.
Yeah, pretty close. That's what I was going
to
guess.
Well, I think one of you need to go down there and be our on-course roving reporter at the Tiburon Golf Club in Naples for the Chubb Classic. That's coming up next week. So we'll look forward to see the Champions Tour players back in action. And then, Bob, what's going on with the ladies?
Well, the ladies are in Asia for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And they've had their own issue, as you know, with the 54-hole.
They have. Let's
yes.
Stop here for a moment. Let's drill down there for a moment. You brought it up. Let's bring
All
it
right.
up.
All right.
There's a big controversy, and it's still kind of going on, and there had to be a letter sent and an explanation sent by the new commissioner that Nelly Korda wins at Lake Nona last week because of inclement weather and danger to the players, he said, and they cut the tournament short. Lydia Ko and many others very, very unhappy about it. Talk about it.
Okay. The commissioner, Craig Kessler, dealt it head on that they were not prepared for the change. He admitted that, and they could have played Monday. The temperature in the 50s on Monday, but they didn't do it. Parts of the golf course were exposed with heavy wind and oscillation of the ball, but that was not the story. The story was they weren't not prepared to push it to another day.
All right, DP World Tour. We were just in Bahrain for that golf tournament. Where are we at this week, Bob?
This week, I'm pulling up. I don't have it in front of me, Ray. Just give me a
Craig,
second here.
I don't know if Craig looked it up or not. I'm seeing that we're in the Middle East and we have a tournament this week from that.
Yeah.
We go to the magical Kenya Open on the 19th through the 22nd. and I can't wait to watch. I have the DP World Tour on my monitor in my golf broadcast studio here in my office constantly. I watch the DP World Tour. and love watching it, and love seeing Patrick Reed playing on the DP World Tour. So I know we have an event last week,
And the
and
Qatar Masters right now.
okay, there we go. And I've been to Qatar, stayed in Qatar for many weeks.
Do you
Can
play
tell
guitar?
Qatar.
I'm just having a little fun.
Yeah, I know you are. You're a funny guy. Ha ha. We play Qatar. And by the way, I do play guitar, and I taught my son to play guitar. And he's now a master and a guitarist, and I'm not. I'm just a regular guy that strums around and sings Christmas songs. Anyway, lots going on the various tours. And Craig, who are you teaching what, and what are you teaching to who? What's on your teaching agenda right now? What should we recreational players know?
Right now it would be more short game work, making sure the chipping and pitching are where they need to be, and making sure your 6-footers and in are being made.
How many times did I see during the broadcast these world-class players chunking, chili dipping, and ruining easy wedge shots, Craig? Have you seen that at the Phoenix Open?
Well, you got tight conditions out there. They say they're easy, but they're not. They're very tight. These players are getting used to certain things. They're bringing in new equipment right now. Maybe a wedge isn't quite where they need it. So, and then you catch it, you make a mistake, and you just screw it up by a little bit. I mean, the errors out there are not big. They're small errors that get to be really big.
Well, I mean, I say that I wouldn't do it, but I may very well, especially under the pressure. Look, I'm an amateur player. But Bob, I mean, really, I mean, you would think these guys, as fine-tuned as they are, how do you, I watched numerous wedge chunks and chili dips. Not one or
One of
two.
them was by Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does
So
that happen?
it can happen to anybody,
It can happen to you.
obviously.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Everybody has their day, right?
Right.
Okay, we're going to give you guys the last word. We're down to the end of the show. Folks, I want you to have a fabulous weekend. Make sure that you follow up with many of these great companies that I've mentioned and more to come at Match Play TV on my Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube site. And yes, I have LinkedIn. And yes, you've written to me and asked me. And if you want to go to my LinkedIn site, you go to Ray Adams. I'm Ray Adams at LinkedIn. Ain't that something? Bad English, but a good point. All right, Mr. Craig Renshaw, you have an evening planned and you've got to run. Final word from Craig Renshaw.
Enjoy the television coverage on the waste management. It's fun to watch. They're going to have great weather, and then turn on the Super Bowl. Have a good weekend.
Have a great Super Bowl weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. Always the tradition, the final round of the Phoenix Open. Tomorrow, Sunday, is always Super Bowl Sunday. Lots happening during the Super Bowl, lots of parties. Make sure, folks, that you are very responsible, though. Find somebody to drive, find a Lyft, find an Uber, find a taxi, stay at home, do whatever. Never one drop, not one drop, never one drop. That's my final word. And Bob, I'm going to give you the final word.
We are in the 100th year of a association called the United Golf Association. It
Oh.
was the first tournament for African American players in 1926, and it was Robert Hawkins was the man who started this UGA. This is the 100th anniversary of the tour that ultimately became an opportunity for players excluded from PGA of America events.
Oh, that's sad. I'm sure they would all love to do that over again, wouldn't they? Where is it now? Where is the tour now?
They have multiple sites around the country. I just couldn't give you all of them at tonight, but they have a multiple schedule. We can go into that later, but this is Black History Month. I thought I'd bring that up as
Yeah.
my closing note for you. But they
Wonderful.
just
I'm
have a
glad you did.
it, it there's a lot to invest in that. to talk about later.
Let's get a representative from that tour on the show. Make it happen.
Okay.
Make it happen. There he is, Bob Denny, Dr. Bob, PGA Emeritus Historian, and Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional. He's got a big plan going on today. And you all have a great, great, great time. Don't forget, go to Match Play TV. And that will get you on my Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube sites for all these fabulous videos and content from the PGA show a couple weeks ago. New products, innovation, technology, everything you can think of, and a couple things that you would not even believe that these people invented. I was shocked at some of it and love it. And you're going to love it too. Match Play TV, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And we say goodbye and sign off to Craig Renshaw, to Dr. Bob Denny. We'll be back with you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show day after tomorrow, Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. And we're going to have a whole wrap up of all the world's golf, everything going on, and especially, of course, the Phoenix Open. Maybe a few more trivia questions. Who knows? Have a lot of fun. Stay safe. And we'll see you out there at the tournaments and, well, on the course, chipping and putting and making it happen, playing the game that we love so much.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.